up? This is Movies on Up, or should I say bonjour? This is Movies on Up.
You shouldn't.
Hola. Estoy aquí. Movies on Up. I don't know. I don't really speak any other foreign languages. If you couldn't tell from my desperate attempts to seem culturally sensitive, this is our top five or our favorite or just foreign horror movies that we like, just depending on how it ends up breaking down. Beware the Moon, our tagline for this particular episode. Hint, hint, that is from a foreign horror movie that I don't think appears on either of our lists.
No, not mine.
Okay. It takes place in a foreign country. So I'm calling it foreign, whatever. If you think you know what the movie is, and it's kind of obvious. I feel like it's kind of obvious.
I feel like that's an American movie just set in somewhere else.
It may be. That might be in the title. Who's to say? But if you think you know what the movie is, send it off to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess directly on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. Tweet your answer directly at my co-host, Dave, @moviesonup, on the Twitter. He is, of course, Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Beware the Moon is our tagline for this week. If you happen to guess where that's from, and if you guess correctly, if we pick you, you could win a prize package, which could be full of all sorts of foreign horror movies that we think are mildly okay. Now, when I put this list together, there are some foreign movies that I talk about a lot. And you do the same, I think. And I left them off. So this list is by no means my five favorite, or do I think they're the five best? But in true Movies on Up fashion, I feel like we left off some obvious ones.
Yeah, and I mean, there's movies we talk about a bunch. Like, Shaun of the Dead would be very high up my list. There's a couple that I'm not going to mention for in case they end up on your list.
I don't think they're going to.
There's a lot that we talk about a lot. So I tried to, for the most part, mention movies that I haven't really talked about or that we don't. I'm not as big of a foreign movie fan as Ryan is, so when we thought about doing this episode, I was a little hesitant until he said, "Hey, British and Australian is foreign." So then I'm all for it.
Just because they speak English, kind of.
So that, spoiler alert, four of my top five movies are British or Australian.
Or made by British prisoners.
Yeah, so it was a fun one to do, though, because I had a lot that came to my mind off top of my head. A lot of it, I made this list about the same time I did the zombie one, because turns out most of my zombie ones were foreign ones, too. So I do like a lot more foreign horror movies than I would have expected.
I'm glad you referenced the zombie list. I think that was from last week. If it wasn't, you know, it can be from whenever. Just go to moviesonup.com. They're all there. But this list did feel a bit like when I made my zombie list. They weren't necessarily my five favorite. They were just, we wanted to do ones that were maybe a bit off the beaten path. And I think that this list probably came about the same way. I think all of our foreign horror flicks in this are off the beaten path. I don't think we'll have any tremendously obvious ones. We'll probably save those for the end, or ones that we've talked about a lot. Why don't we just get right into it? Dave, your number five something foreign horror movie.
My number five comes from 2009, Right Across the Pond, starring a couple of my favorite British actors, Danny Dyer and Noel Clark. Big fan of both of them. It is Doghouse. It almost made my zombie list. I left it for this one. It's just a group of guys go to this town, and it turns out all the women in the town have become these zombies or these beastie monsters, and it's really funny. Much like the zombie list, I started off with another Danny Dyer movie, Devil's Playground, and said it wasn't necessarily a great zombie movie, but it's worth a watch because it has everything I love about British horror movies. Doghouse is pretty much the same because it has everything I love about British horror comedies. Yes, Shaun of the Dead almost perfected it. Like, that's a perfect British horror comedy. But Doghouse does a lot of the same stuff well. There are its sight gags, but it relies mostly on dialogue. That's probably going to be a theme later where Danny Dyer might show up again on my list. But it's just a lot of fun. It's just this town, they go, and all these women just turn into these monsters. So it's a lot of fun. It's about friendship. It's, you know, about PMS or whatever. It's just, there's a lot of fun parts about it, and it just, it's a fun watch.
I do enjoy when movies, you know, take something that happens pretty regularly and just they dial it up to 11 and make kind of a farce out of it. And I do think that, you know, when you mention like all the women kind of turn into monsters, I think, you know, if you live with a woman, you're kind of familiar with that. It happens about once a month, give or take. And obviously it's much worse than the menses, but it's kind of funny. And especially if you're doing it kind of in that light tone, but having a horror twist, I think works pretty well. My number five, not really a funny movie at all. It did spawn a little bit of a franchise. None of the sequels are any good. Definitely not as good as 1972's Tombs of the Blind Dead, directed by Armando D'Osorio, starring Cesar Brunner, Lone Fleming, and Maria Elena Arpone. It starts off with a bunch of Templars. They're not actually called Knights Templar, but it's pretty obvious from their garb what they are. They get killed for practicing witchcraft. I think they're trying to like drink blood to stay alive forever. I forget exactly, you know, what kind of shenanigans they're involved in, but they're killed for their crimes and left to have their eyes pecked out by the crows, which is kind of where the blind dead part comes in. After they're reanimated, they hunt down some college kids completely by sound, because dead people, you know, that don't have eyeballs, they can only hear you. It's a very slow burn, especially to start with, but I think the movie does do a pretty good job in building suspense as you go along with these kids trying not to make any noise. It is definitely a creep fest. It's not overly gory. Even crows pecking out guys' eyeballs is not really all that gory, but I think that it does a very good job of being creepy. The subsequent sequels do seem like kind of a rehashed thing, and I think it's interesting that they're called, you know, blind dead and not zombies, because they're really more mummies, I guess, than zombies. Kind of slow moving fellas, but I couldn't put it on my zombie list, or I don't even know if it was so much zombie list last time. It just ended up being things that were dead. But I think as far as a foreign horror movie, I think it's pretty good. I wouldn't waste my time with the sequels, but check out from 1972, Tombs of the Blind Dead.
My number four is a little more recent. It comes from 2008. It's the only one of my top five that is actual foreign language. It came from a boom there in the late 2000-aughts. France had a run with a ton of them. Like, they had a big horror hit early in the century. They had Ills, Inside. There was just a bunch of movies. But my favorite that came out of that was 2008's Martyrs, directed by Pasquale Laugier, who was attached to the Hellraiser remake there for a while until he backed out. But this is just a unique, weird, kind of terrifying, torturous movie.
It gets lumped into that torture porn category, and
it's a little more than that, but it does.
There's more of a plot going. Yes.
And inside of that rash of French horror movies that I talked about, Inside probably got the most love because it's probably more talked about because it's so gory and so intense.
It's more relatable, I guess, than the concept of Martyrs. I mean, yeah. Inside is about a home invasion where they're trying to cut a baby out.
Yeah. And it's very gory. But I didn't think the characters were done well. I didn't think the story was done well. Martyrs is a little different. The story is all over the place. Two kids get sexually abused. The one wants revenge. Then she gets killed. And the other one ends up in this hellhole of torture. I don't know. It's so hard to explain because it's really all over the place, but it's a ride that's worth taking. Like, it's,
by the time you get to the end, I think you're just like, what the hell did I just see?
Yes, and it's a good movie. I mean, it really is good. Like, I liked Ills. Ills kind of got lumped in with The Strangers because it beat The Strangers by about a year, but it did what The Strangers wanted to do a lot better. Martyrs did what nothing else really did, because the story is kind of all over the place, but not for the sake of being all over the place. Like, point A to point B to point C to point Z all makes sense how we get there. It's a really well-made movie, and I do like that director. He just did The Tall Man with Jessica Biel last year. It did suck, but I'd like to see him do something else, because I do like how Martyrs was made and how it was shot. But yeah, from France. So that's 2008's Martyrs.
Mine, also from the 2000s. I think this is, yep, it is the newest movie that I have on my list, if only by a year. It is Japanese Versus, directed by Ryuhi Kitamura, starring some Japanese folks. You got time travel, you got your magical portals, and you got your reanimation of corpses. Oh, and you want to see some samurais fight zombies? You're going to want to see Versus. Oh, you throw in a dash of Yakuza on zombie crime in there just for a little bit of good measure. Kind of a busy flick. There's a lot going on, and I think it takes more than one viewing to get everything fully synthesized. Being that it's done in a foreign language, you kind of got to read, which apparently I have problems with. I think that's another reason that you might have to see it a couple times. With the time travel, it would be one thing if it was just a self-contained movie about a couple folks that get lost in a forest that just happens to reanimate the dead. But then when you start going from feudal Japan to Japan in the future, the first time I just think the action is so cool. I got kind of distracted, and that's just what I was checking out. Like, oh, that was awesome. Oh, man. And I may have been drunk as well. But I think I don't know how much of the story is worth wrapping your mind around, but I feel like it's going to take another couple sober viewings for me. And I think I had enough fun watching it that I would definitely sit through it a couple more times. I like it.
It's a fun one.
Yeah.
Fun's the best way to describe that movie, because it's nuts. It's all over the place. My number three, a little more straightforward. The IMDb plot synopsis is simply just a supernatural drama about grief. It is 2008 from Australia, Lake Mungo. I've mentioned this one before as a watch this, but I wanted to kind of talk about it more. It is a supernatural drama about grief. And that's really the only way you could talk about it, because there are some plot twists. It's very suspenseful. It's not so much about the supernatural as it is about the grief and how this family deals with a tragedy that happened to them. But the whole time you're wondering what led to that tragedy, what caused it. It's very suspenseful. It's technically a horror movie because it is pretty freaky. It's pretty creepy. But there are some, again, really good plot twists, and you're kind of left guessing. And the end is actually a really good payoff. It's hard to talk about this movie without spoiling anything, because it's basically just a family dealing with the death of their daughter. And to say much more than that kind of spoils it. But it is definitely worth a watch. It was one of the few, the After Dark Horror Fest, the eight films to die for, very few of them come out good, but this one, I don't think it's just good for one of the eight films to die for. I think this is a really, really well thought out, really well done horror movie that's different than what you've seen before. It's not Insidious. It's not, you know, any of those ghost movies. It's not like that. It's unique enough, and it's just really good. The acting is good. The plot is good, and it's one of those that, it's like a mystery because it does keep you guessing. And again, the payoff, I think, is 100% worth it. There's kind of two payoffs at the end. And it's so good. And it's just, if you have not watched Lake Mungo, please find Lake Mungo and watch it, because it is such a good, well-done, like, supernatural movie.
Is the payoff that Bruce Willis is actually the one that is dead?
Yeah, but only half the time.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to go see that then. My number three was actually my number one until about a minute and a half ago. And then I called an audible because I like it. But thinking back on the two movies that I have above it, I think they're justified. I like Italian horror movies. I do not have a Dario Argento movie on my list because I talk about him in his films a lot because he's my favorite Italian horror director. Almost as much as I talk about Argento, I talk about Lucio Fulci. Again, probably for good reason. He would be up there just as well. When we did our Living Dead or zombie list last time, I had City of the Living Dead on there, and I mentioned that it's not Fulci's best movie. It's not even his best movie about zombies. I think Zombie probably would be his best one about zombies. But this film from 1981, The Beyond, I think is his best horror movie, starring Katerina McCall, David Warbeck, and Cinza Monreale. McCall shows up in quite a few of Fulci's movies. I think it's The House by the Cemetery as well, which is another movie that has a pretty similar plot to this one in City of the Living Dead, and that is gates of hell are about to open wherever our main characters happen to be at this particular time. In The Beyond, Katerina McCall's character inherits a hotel in Louisiana, which happens to be built on one of these seven doors of death. It happens also to be called the Seven Doors Hotel. I'm sure there's absolutely no relevance to that at all. I actually believe that's what the movie was originally called, The Seven Doors of Death. Obviously, those doors are doors to hell, which all sorts of creepy things come through, as is kind of a theme in Fulci's movies. There's a bunch of eye trauma. I think three of the characters have some pretty terrible things happen to their eyes, and that's about how they die. And it has one of the most graphic headshots you're ever going to see in a movie, and it happens to a character that you don't necessarily think it's going to happen to. But I got to say, I was pretty creeped out by this character, so when it did happen, I was clapping at that point. But really kind of gory. Some of the gore doesn't quite hold up now. I like the score. It seems like Italian horror movies really do have good, creepy, borderline epic scores, and I think the Beyond definitely does. It's really kind of a head trip, like where it leaves you. The characters, I don't think, ever have a plan to stop these gates of hell from opening. They just try not to get killed, and it's really kind of an uphill battle for them, and you feel bad by the end of it. You just kind of want them to die and just get it over with. But the movie itself, if you want to see a good example of Fulci's work, I think if you watch The Beyond, you'll have a good idea of what he does, and you can decide whether or not you like him and go from there.
My number two, back to England, a little British film with one of my favorite taglines ever. The tagline for this movie is, "You brought them into this world, now they will take you out." It is also from 2008. It is The Children. Just really good. It's one of those slow burns, which British horror movies get away with that a little better because they're not trying to appease to American mainstream audiences, so they don't rush to the point. It's just about a family get together, a bunch of kids and a bunch of adults get together in a house outside in the country, and something is in the air, and the kids start getting sick and then becoming murderers. So it's really unique, and it's done really well. And one of my favorite things about not just British horror movies, although they do it very well, but foreign horror movies as a whole, is the deaths matter. So this one, like, in order to survive, you have to kill your nephew or your son or your cousin. So they don't hold back. Like, this kind of movie, I don't think could be made. I mean, it could be made in America with zero budget, no backing, no release date, no financing. Like, you could make it, but to come out as well as it did, like, it doesn't look cheap. They didn't hold back at all. Some of the kills are brutal. It does get pretty violent. The ending is great. It's a really good movie because it does build up the characters first, and you know in your mind that stuff's going to start happening, and you're on the edge, like, you're just cringing knowing that it's going to happen because you've brought into this family gathering, and this is the last place you want something to happen, and then it all happens. So it's a really cool, really well-done movie. The director, Tom Shankland, directed a few episodes of The Fades, which is a show on BBC America that's actually pretty solid. So, but the children, it's just tonally, it's pretty dark, but they do a good job of sucking you into this family get together and then just destroying your world along with this family's.
My number two, also from across the pond, but it's a little bit older. Now, stop me if you've heard this one before. Got a British film based off a book released in 1960 about a serial killer obsessed with his parent. This film predates Psycho by just a couple months, but is very similar. It is Michael Powell's Peeping Tom, starring Carl Baum, Anna Massey, and Moria Shearer. I feel like I have mentioned this at least one time before, and it's probably because I was on some kind of Hitchcock rant where I was talking about Psycho and how much I love Hitchcock and how much I love Psycho. And I actually think that this movie is better than Psycho. And I don't think that I'm completely alone in that. I think Scorsese really ranks it very highly in terms of just not even just horror movies, but in terms of filmmaking. Michael Powell's career as a director was pretty much ended by this movie. It was absolutely destroyed when it came out as being exploitive and just trash. And I think it's one reason why Hitchcock didn't screen Psycho to any of the press before it was released, because he saw what happened to Powell's film, which, again, was very similar to what he did. Peeping Tom is, as the name would indicate, about Carl Baum's character, who is a wannabe documentary filmmaker. And it feels very invasive. His character, you know, goes around with a camera, films women, and he has a sort of a, for lack of a better term, a bayonet on his camera. So as he stabs these women and kills them, he's able to record their dying expressions for this documentary about fear. You feel a bit like a Peeping Tom as you're watching this movie, because I think the actresses, you know, do a really good job in their very tight close-ups they have dying. You kind of feel their fear and their pain, and that's such at the core of this movie. If they didn't carry it well, the movie would have absolutely fallen flat on its face. And I honestly think that it's a masterpiece. It really is. And if I do think it's better than Psycho, I just don't think that, you know, people have seen it for whatever reason. I mean, I know it's a lot harder to get your hands on. Criterion has a really good copy of this movie with a bunch of documentaries on it, as they do about Powell. But I mean, if you like Psycho at all, I think you'll really dig Peeping Tom. I think it'll probably affect you more than Psycho did. It doesn't, you know, obviously it doesn't have that iconic score, but I think it's a really, really rad movie and definitely worth checking out.
My number one, I'm going to go back to Britain, across the pond, and go back to how my number five was a horror comedy, which I think England does very, very well. This is another one from 2006, starring Danny Dyer, Laura Harris, David Gilliam, Toby Stevens, Andy Nyman, like a bunch of great British actors. It is 2006's Severance. It's very funny, very well done. Like, it's so smartly written. The jokes, a lot of times, kind of get overlooked because they're done so fast. But it's a nice mix of, you know, funny dialogue, sight gags, horror. Like, it's just a business retreat. This bus full of office workers go out. They end up in the wrong cabin, and they're hunted down by somebody or somebodies. And it's just a lot of fun. Like, even you get to know the characters. You know, they all have the good character development. So when they do die, it does suck, but some of them are done so funny that it kind of lessens the blow. It's just a really funny movie. And it's different because it's not your traditional just Jason-type slasher out in the woods killing them. There's a little bit more to it. And the jokes just keep coming. The dialogue is so good. Some of the kills are just funny. There's a great bit with a bear trap that comes into play a lot. It's just a really, really fun, funny movie that just centers around an office retreat gone bad, which I think a lot of people can relate to, those team-building activities. And It's basically you're with your coworkers in this life or death situation, and Danny Dyer he nails it in this movie. Like I'm a sucker for Danny Dyer. I love him and pretty much everything he's in. In this, he's on shrooms most of the time, so it's kind of extra Danny Dyer-ish. But Severance is just a fun, bloody good time.
I get it. Get it bloody because it's from England. There's quite a bit of blood in my number one. It is from 1999, directed by Takeshi Miike, starring Ryo Ishibashi, whatever, and starring some Japanese folks. It's Audition. Japan and Italy, I think, are probably the two most proficient countries in producing horror flicks. I think you can make the argument that Spain might be up there as well. Obviously, there's quite a few really good ones that come from Britain as well. But I feel like I've left off some of the more obvious Japanese flicks, but this one I really couldn't leave off. I think that Miike is absolutely one of the masters of gore that we've got going. And on that front, no matter what movie you're watching of Takeshi Miike, you know there's going to be an adequate amount of blood spray. You're going to get that. He'll never disappoint you there. This is one of Eli Roth's favorite movies, and you can kind of see why. 6 years before, you know, torture porn kind of became a thing, with Hostel, with Martyr, some of the French movies that Dave talked about earlier. I think, like, Audition really kind of set the standard for that. The plot's not real involved, but it's there. It's done out of sequence, and that's what I kind of like about this movie. It's not just a straight-up, we're going to do bad things to this person and then this person and this person. It's a little bit of a mystery as the main character is trying to do some research on this girl who he would like to make his wife. He's just going around checking her references that she's given him on a resume and finds out that things don't quite add up. But I think the movie kind of falls apart at the end. It kind of falls down the stairs, so to speak. But it does a very good job of building tension and drawing out kind of the final torture sequence. And I think it's my favorite Takeshi Miike movie because it's not as out there as some of his other ones. And I don't even know that I would call movies like Gozu or Ichi the Killer. They're not really horror movies.
They get lumped in with horror
movies.
They
do.
And I understand why, but they're really not.
Yeah, I think they're more crime movies, but at least the plot of Audition I can follow. Watching Gozu, I'm really not sure what the hell's going on. If I'm going to pick one Takeshi Miike movie, it's definitely going to be this one, and I definitely think that this one would fit the description for horror movies, definitely more so than some of his other things. But, you know, I mentioned that there's kind of a couple obvious Japanese ones that I left off. Ju-on is kind of the one that comes to mind first. I think that, you know, people have probably seen the American remake, which I think they did a really good job with. So I honestly can't say that, you know, if you haven't seen the Japanese version, that you need to stop whatever you're doing and go back and see that. But you know, is there anything that you left off, either because it was too obvious or you talked about it too much?
I left a lot off. The Descent, because we talk about it a bunch.
Yeah.
Stuff like The Orphanage and Devil's Backbone I thought are really good. There was one just in the Old Boy I left off because we talked about it.
Is that a horror movie?
It's
as much
like,
as Ichi the Killer,
it's,
I feel
exactly,
like.
But it gets lumped in with that. Like, I think people consider it that. It's a revenge movie, but
yeah.
Isolation, I talk about a lot, and then two that I saved for Watch This. But the ones that I think we haven't talked about a lot, another French one, Mutants, pretty messed up movie around that same time as Martyrs, Ills. Mutants was a weird one. Japanese, the only Japanese one I have, Suicide Club, pretty messed up movie. Again, is it a horror? Probably, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I would say that's probably more, definitely more of a horror movie than, you know, like a mobster movie. Like,
yeah.
Ichi.
And then The Loved Ones from Australia, just a really jacked up prom night.
Okay, that's probably enough for also-rans. No also-rans here. Why don't you give the people a couple that watch This Is Is. We're nearing the end of our 30 or some 50 some odd films to check out in this month of October, so give the folks two more.
I'm going to go back down under for New Zealand, a film we've talked about a lot. I bring it up a lot. Black Sheep, the one about killer sheep. just watch it. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out. If you have seen it, rewatch it. It's a lot of fun. It's just a goofy, good time. And then back in Australia, Wolf Creek. I didn't like the movie at the time, but after a rewatch, I liked it better on a second time. I think when it came out, it was overhyped about being like one of the scariest movies ever, and it just wasn't what I wanted it to be at the time. But after a recent rewatch, it's a really good movie. There is a second one on its way out, but Wolf Creek is good.
I've got a couple that I kind of feel are pretty good as well, but they are two directors. One of them, one of my favorites. One of them, I guess, would be one of Dave's favorites. Favorite foreign horror directors who's made some movies stateside that weren't so bad either. High Tension from 2003. It's Alexander Aja. It starts off like maybe the first 10-15 minutes, maybe not a lot going on. But again, you got a home invasion that kind of kicks things off. And once that starts, it does become half revenge movie as the heroine is kind of chasing down this guy who's kidnapped one of her best friends. And it's very violent as well. It kind of gets lumped in right there with Audition. And I think rightfully so. I mean, you both have strong female characters that are doing some pretty horrible things to men. Maybe justified, maybe not so justified in one case. This one does have kind of a bit, like Audition, I think it maybe kind of falls apart at the end. This one has a twist ending that, you know, maybe you need, maybe you don't need. Nonetheless, it's there. Pretty good movie. I definitely think that it's worth checking out. I didn't want to put this and Audition on the list. I happen to like Audition much more. That's why it made the cut, and High Tension to nod, if you'll pardon the pun there. I mentioned that I don't have any movies from Dario Argento. Suspiria, if I was going to have one, that is absolutely, I think, the best foreign horror movie, and it's definitely my favorite. But I talk about that a lot. I've talked about quite a few of his movies quite a bit. One I haven't talked about is Opera from 1987. A girl starts off being cast in this play, and then when the lead gets run down by a car, she becomes the lead, but sees that there might be a problem with this production, and she may not want to be involved in it. And then it's Argento's really good, you know, when he's maybe not making zombie stuff. He's really good at that suspense. There's a killer, and it's half mystery, because you kind of, you know, you're with the characters trying to find out who that killer is. Gaio is the term that people use a lot with Argento, and it's kind of the Italian genre for suspense films. He's called the Italian Hitchcock for good reason, because he is a master at building the suspense, and I think he does it very good in here, as you're trying to find out with the character who's trying to kill her and who's really going to be the next to die. Not as heavy on the gore as some of his other movies, but I think really it makes up for it in the suspense. It's 1987. It is Opera. Those are our watch this is for the week. A veritable extravaganza of foreign horror movies for you to check out this week. If by some chance we did miss your favorite, let us know what it is, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave some favorites on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet them directly at Dave at moviesonup. There were, you know, a couple that we left off on purpose. If you're a big fan of Dead Snow, we are too, but thought that one was kind of obvious, so we didn't put it on there. Plus, we've talked about it quite a bit. But if there's one that you don't feel like we've talked about, but you do feel like deserves a place in the pantheon of fine foreign horror movies, we'd love to hear about it. If you'd love to hear more about and from my co-host Dave, where might folks be able to do that?
DaveBasella.com, at Dave Basella on Twitter. You can find it at EricandDave.com. It is called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. Our Halloween episode just went up this week, so you can check that out. That's EricandDave.com, Eric with a K.
Very list heavy this week with our our complete review of the Nightmare on Elm Street series, followed by our five favorite-ish foreign horror movies. But not to be outdone, there is a discussion episode this week. It is the long-promised Halloween 3 discussion episode, which is less a Halloween 3 discussion episode and more discussion about horror movies.
It starts off Halloween 3, but then we kind of veer off. Because how do you talk about Halloween 3 for very long?
Well, we didn't. I think we talked about it for maybe 10 minutes. Yeah. Everything else. And I think the discussion ended up being pretty good, kind of relevant to Halloween 3, at least in concept. And that episode will, in fact, drop tomorrow for
Halloween.
It's almost
kind of fitting that the Halloween 3 episode barely has any Halloween 3 in it.
Yeah, because that, spoiler alert, barely has any of the things that you would associate with a Halloween movie in it. That episode will be up on Halloween. So until then,
keep it up.